Now, can you tell me about these short works by Tchaikovsky? Where do they fit in the repertoire?
Well, I think maybe they were performed a little bit more, maybe 50, 60 years ago. But even until present time, they have been a compulsory, sound like I'm talking about figure skating, but they're compulsory works in the Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow. And until maybe 10, 20 years ago, that was considered the kind of Olympics of music, held once every 4 years, of course made very famous by the victory of Van Cliburn in the early 60s and caught the imagination of the world, not just classical music world, but citizens around the world on both sides of the Iron Curtain. And the competition was one of the great moments in my life as a musician in 1986 when I went there. And my goal was to reach the finals and to win one of the top 8 prizes. And I achieved that goal. And in the course of the competition, I played these two works. The Serenade Melancolique was in the semifinals. Everybody had to play it. And then in the prelims, we all had to play the Waltz-Scherzo.
So you have a long history, and these are very special pieces to you.
Yes, I have incredible memories of those days in Moscow. If you make it all the way through the competition, you end up staying in Moscow for about a month. And I was staying at this monolith of a hotel in right near Red Square called the Hotel Rossiya. And it was truly one of the most awful hotels I've ever stayed in, with the worst food. And yet those memories are burned into my mind with such great fondness. At the end of the competition, you know, slowly everybody has left as they're eliminated. And at the end, maybe there was one pianist that I was with from America. And there was a winner's concert, and Gorbachev and his wife were sitting up in the royal box watching us at the Moscow Conservatory, the Great Hall. It was just an incredible time, and they made an LP with certain select works, and the Serenade Melancolique was chosen for that album. So I think I have one copy left.
Can we talk about the works in particular? Did you pick these two pieces to do during this concert?
I did. You know, we choose programming about 2 years in advance. At least we start discussions. And it's not as easy for me to choose concerti as perhaps some others, because with a violin concerto, you have to be, there's so many factors involved, like, oh, well, we just did it last year, or we're saving that for Itzhak Perlman next year, or, you know, we can't really do Beethoven. We have to save that for the kind of the big shots coming up, or there's always a reason. And also, I play solo with the orchestra more than any other violinist, actually every year. So it's not easy. And so I'm always looking for some little different angle or something kind of special to hook it on. And this seemed to work really well, these two Tchaikovsky pieces, because of the competition connection from 1986.
What is it about them that makes them ideal for a competition?
Well, these two Tchaikovsky works, brief really, one's 5 minutes, one's 9 minutes, are compulsory in the Tchaikovsky competition only, not in other competitions. And I think that the Russians take great, great pride in their Tchaikovsky. And so I think that they include every little Tchaikovsky piece that they can find. We even do this little thing called Melody, which is really an encore piece, like 2 minutes long. That's compulsory. And then, of course, in the finals, you have to play the Tchaikovsky concerto along with another concerto of your choice.
So was Tchaikovsky in these shorter pieces working out things or playing around or experimenting with certain things that he would later put into his violin concerto?
I do think that although these two works are, I think, fully formed and mature works on the part of Tchaikovsky, I do think that many small and perhaps hidden elements in these two short works do find their way into the violin concerto later. I think the Tchaikovsky violin concerto can be absolutely considered an equal to the Beethoven violin concerto, Brahms violin concerto. But sometimes people kind of poo-poo Tchaikovsky as a lighter composer, but I disagree. I think he's one of the greats. And it's wonderful to see this kind of evolution through these short works and then later through his violin concerto. I think that standing on their own, they're little gems. I'm not quite sure why, especially the Serenade Melancolique, is not performed even more. It's so Russian. It's so beautiful. There's a lot of suffering in there. B-flat minor, it's very dark. The orchestration is typical Tchaikovsky-esque. It's so beautiful and touching. And I feel that he was as profound in these two short works as he was in any of his other symphonic work.
when you were learning these works, do you pay attention to the composer's biography? Because he seems to be telegraphing something with the title and the mood of the piece.
Certainly, Susan. Tchaikovsky had a tortured life in many ways, dealing with his own sexuality, a jumble of emotions inside all the time, fighting against himself. And so I feel that not only are those emotions expressed in the Serenade Melancholique, but also just this kind of cold Russian winter feeling comes out. And I try to always remember those thoughts when I play. It's not just a dark, slow movement of Tchaikovsky. I truly try to think more ethnically, as it were. The Tchaikovsky Waldscherzo is typical kind of delightful scherzo movement that you would hear a scherzo movement in maybe Tchaikovsky 5 or Tchaikovsky 6. And I think that people would be surprised that the Waldscherzo is a fantastic program ender, like the Sarasate Carmen Fantasy. And if you go on YouTube, you'll see that it is performed by some of the great soloists around the world with, you know, Berlin Philharmonic and Vienna. And it's usually done maybe in the summertime, outdoor venue.
So Tchaikovsky has his own language, and then the performer adds his interpretation. You have a conductor involved as well. How has your interpretation changed from the time you played it at the competition and today?
It's funny that you should ask that, because for the Serenade Melancholique, as I mentioned, in June of 1986, when I played this in Moscow, I had a certain feeling that was so like down into the depths of depression and Russian winter. I just had it. And I'm still trying to capture that feeling, recapture that feeling. And now we're decades later, and I'm a different person, different life, different surroundings, different environment. And I can't seem to find it. Who knows? Maybe our wonderful audience is feeling that I am capturing some of that kind of pathos that I'm looking for. But no, I can't seem to find it. But feels a little different. For the Waldscherzo, I think I was much more concerned back then with playing it clean. Obviously, it was in the first round. First round is kind of a culling for these big competitions. You cull the weak of the herd. And so they give you unaccompanied Bach, Paganini caprices, things that are really exposed and that will kind of separate the men from the boys right away. And this Waldscherzo does exactly that. It's very, very exposed. It's very kind of transparent and yet kind of on its tippy toes, light and technically not easy. And so I think I was much more concerned with the technical aspects back then. Now I'm just trying to enjoy it. And, you know, I don't mean to be morbid and think, oh, my career is almost over. But, you know, it's kind of like being a professional athlete. And you hear these guys say, oh, the young ones, they kind of take it for granted if they make it to the Super Bowl or to the World Series. And they think, oh, yeah, I'll get back here. But for us in the orchestra, getting to play with the Philadelphia Orchestra as a soloist is the greatest perk of the job and the greatest privilege. And so I think I'm finding I'm more appreciative and more grateful for each opportunity that I get to stand in front of the orchestra. It's truly the greatest privilege and the most terrifying.
Is there a particular part that was challenging for you as a young violinist?
As a 23-year-old violinist back in 1986, I think for me it was a little bit more difficult to try to capture the emotion of the music rather than just be concentrating on playing it clean and nailing it. And now I feel that perhaps that side of it, I'm not saying it comes easier, but it's easier for my brain to kind of be thinking about the emotion of the music, the Russian quality, the Tchaikovsky-esque feelings. And then the technical stuff, I'm kind of more experienced, and so I kind of know how to get around the fiddle a little bit better than perhaps I did when I was 23.
I would think that if it was technically difficult, then now that you are more comfortable with the piece, you can explore a lot of other aspects of it. So it becomes fresh and new for you, even playing it now after you've played it for many years.
I think something that we can't overlook is that in terms of the comfort level between how I play it now and I played these works back in 86 is the collaboration. In 86, it was with the Moscow Philharmonic, a wonderful orchestra. and a very famous woman conductor, Natalia Dudarova. And she was a real firebrand, and she was, but yet very warm to me, very motherly. And she was fantastic. But now I'm playing it with the great Philadelphia Orchestra, and it's truly like putting on a fur coat. It's so luxurious and decadent, and it never fails to amaze me. In the rehearsals this week, I would just sit there and just take it in and just kind of say to myself, this is truly a privilege. Don't ever discount this incredible privilege that you're experiencing. The sound is just amazing.
Thank you so much, David Kim.
Always a pleasure, Susan.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.